You ever gone up to someone who was suffering, maybe enduring some difficulty in their life, and you asked them, "How can I help?" And you were hoping that they would give you some action, something you could accomplish, because you wanted nothing more than to bear their burden and feel like you'd done something for them. And they answer this way: "Just pray." And I must confess that I have at times been disappointed by that answer, almost feeling like, well, that's just the minimum. I'd rather do something with my hands, anything you need. Just pray. Could it be that we've forgotten the power of prayer? Could it be we've lost our appreciation for who we pray to and what He can do? I was reading this past week about a modern president who received on average 65,000 letters per week at the White House. 65,000 a week. That doesn't count emails. That doesn't count faxes. Doesn't count phone calls. 65,000 letters a week. And he asked his staff, "Give me 10 a day. You sort through them. Give me a representation of 10 per day that I want to read from citizens of the country." Can you imagine if God answered prayer that way? If our petitions to Him were funneled through some committee of angels, and then they came up with a top 10 list, "Here, Lord, hear these." In fact, we read in the Bible of people who offered prayer to God, and they're known for their prayers. And He heard them. He heard every one of them, just as He has heard our prayers in this assembly today. Daniel, we read, prayed kneeling 3 times a day, and God heard every one of those, just like He heard every other prayer offered. We read that Moses in Psalm 90 offered this prayer, it said, a man of God, and God heard his prayer, just as He has heard our prayers in the assembly today. But I want you to consider with me a prayer from an obscure place offered by an obscure man. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'd like you to go there in your Bible and read with me 2 verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. First Chronicles 4, verse 9, beginning. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him with pain.' Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me.' And God granted to him what he requested." These two verses ought to be proof to us of the importance of Bible reading. Because this is a chapter that begins with just a list of names. It's chronicling the sons of Judah. And we might be tempted to say, "I don't need to know all that. He begat him who begat him. Well, what does that have to do with my life?" And so we might just skip over that. Do you see we would miss these two verses? It's like I was thinking about some words of a hymn. Just reading the words, "Make known his deeds among the people. Boy, I love how that's said. And it's taken right out of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The reason we read the Bible is because God has preserved it for us. And He chose to tell us about a man named Jabez. A man who is known today by his prayer. How would you like to be known your whole life about a prayer you offered? And you want to tell me when somebody says, just pray, that that's the minimum? That's a disappointment, what I wanted to do? The prayer of Jabez. And I especially want you to notice the last sentence of verse 10. And God granted him what he requested. You know what the most often frustration we say about prayer? Why doesn't God hear mine? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Now we understand, just like the Garth Brooks song says, that an unanswered prayer to us really means God said no. It's not that He ignored the request. When we say God doesn't answer my prayers, what we mean by that, He doesn't answer the way I want them to be answered. Why doesn't God hear what I'm asking and do what I've requested? Well, could we maybe learn something about somebody who was successful? God granted him what he requested. Well, what is it about the prayer of Jabez that's going to help us? And we read of verses like what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. John 15 and verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted for you. 1 John 3 and verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. And we might take those verses to think that God's like a vending machine. We put the quarters in and the prayer, answered prayers just come out. Whatever you want, it's what He gives to you. Then we say, well, why aren't mine like that? I don't have the answer this morning as to why God is not answering your prayers the way you think He should. But the Scriptures speak about that. We can look at the passages from the Word of God that will help us, that we might pray like Jabez, and that God would grant what we requested. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Number one, could it be that you didn't ask? Maybe you're not getting the answer you want because you never asked the question. Look at it again, verse 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel. That's how his prayer begins. He called not on the God of the Canaanites, not on the gods of Babylon or any other idol. He called on the name of the true and living God, someone who had the power to grant his request. Chronicles were written not in real time, but were written most likely after the period of captivity, when Israel had seen all those other nations serve all those other gods. Jabez didn't make his request known to those gods. He called on the God of Israel. Could it be that you're not getting the answer because you never asked? In a cruel twist of irony, we've finally gotten some fall weather, and I can't go outside for sneezing. I'm kind of like the little boy who came and told his mom what they had studied in Bible class, and he said, "I said my memory verse." And she said, "What is it?" He said, "Pray without sneezing." Well, that's hard to do for me this time of year. But that's what the Scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, to pray without ceasing. Well, what would cause us to cease to pray? I can do it myself. God already knows. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, if He already knows, why do I have to make my requests known? Because what that is a demonstration that I understand I can't. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this by my own power. I'm going to lay it at your feet and beg you, Lord, to grant my request. Could it be that you're not getting the answer because you didn't ask? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your request be made known to God. And the next verse says, "And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Maybe you don't have the peace of God because you're still striving with yourself, trying to do it your way on your own instead of letting your requests be made known to Him. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Because I'm not praying without ceasing. I didn't ask. Jabez called on the name of the Lord. Number two, could it be that God is not answering the way you want because of sin? Is sin in the way of your prayer being heard before God's throne? Verse 9 tells us that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, we shouldn't take that to literally mean just his immediate family. Remember, this is a listing of the clan of Judah. And so Jabez stood out among the sons of Judah in the same way that he stands out in this chapter. But what caused him to stand out? Was he more handsome? Was he wealthier? Was he more shrewd? Was he more powerful? No, the Scripture says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. This same Hebrew word is used in Genesis 34 and verse 19, and it means respected. Those of his tribe looked at him with respect and honor. And God heard his petition. Could it be that God is not hearing you because of sin? Now, we need to understand when we say because of sin, if sinners cannot pray to God, well, that means two things. Number one, we can never be forgiven. And number two, we can never be saved. Because God's the only one who can forgive our sin. He's the only one who can save us. So we're not talking about a sinner who is looking to God for help. We're talking about somebody who is ignoring the sin of their life, who have excused it somehow, who are being obstinate and stubborn. Well, if you're not listening to what God said about your sin, why should you expect him to listen to you? Isn't that what Isaiah said to the people of Israel? Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, he said, it's not that the Lord's hand or his arm is too short to save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. Your sins have made a separation between you and your God. They've caused him to hide his face from you, listen to it, that he cannot hear. He does not hear because of your sin. John said it this way. If we say we love God and hate our brother, the truth is not in us. Peter said, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, that your prayers may not be hindered. If we have something against a brother, if there is something between us and a sister, could it be that sin, we're not loving the people we can see? How are we going to love God whom we have not seen? Could it be that sin is causing our prayer to be unheard? Why isn't God answering me? Is it because of your sin? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Number three, why doesn't God hear me? Could it be that you're asking with wrong motives? You're asking with wrong motives. Look what Jabez did pray for in verse 10 when he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my border. We read that and might think that a selfish prayer. And we would say, well, that's where the prosperity preachers live. He's asking for material blessings. He's asking for a prosperous life. Again, remember that this is written after the captivity. They've returned to the land, and so they're wanting God to restore the borders. Give us back the land that was once ours when we were your people and you were our God. And really, the request hinges on the word indeed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. It's a word that's used a couple of times in the New Testament to make a distinction. Remember when Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3 to honor those who are widows indeed? Jesus said about Nathanael in John 1, behold, an Israelite indeed. That is a word that means truly, surely, with certainty. And so the prayer of Jabez is for blessing indeed. Bless me, Lord, with spiritual growth. Bless me with the blessing of Abraham, whom you promised would be a blessing to all people on the earth. He's not asking for material wealth. Bless me indeed, truly, sincerely. Think about it. Are you asking God to bless you indeed? Or in need? When was the last time you asked in your prayers, God, expand my spiritual growth. Extend my influence in your kingdom. Grant me, God, more opportunities to serve instead of just being satisfied in these small boundaries. Could it be that your prayer is not heard because you're asking with the wrong motive? Look at James chapter 4 and notice the last part of verse 2 and then continue in verse 3. James 4, verse 2, again, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know why God granted to Jabez what he requested? Because he asked for blessing indeed. We should not think of prayers as our wish list. That all we're doing is mentioning things that we want and we need without thinking of blessing indeed. Why doesn't God hear my prayers? Could it be you're asking with the wrong motives? James said, when you do that, you will not receive. Number four, could it be that your asking is not in faith? That when you're praying to God, you're not praying in faith? Again, Jabez said, oh, that you'd bless me indeed, enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me. He prayed that God's hand would be with him. I was reading this past week a biography of Andrew Jackson I took on my trip. And then General Jackson, after his overwhelming victory at the Battle of New Orleans, was writing to a friend. And he was writing about his victory on the battlefield. And he said it this way. It appears that the unerring hand of Providence, capital P, shielded my men from the shower of balls, bombs, and rockets. The unerring hand of Providence. That's God's hand being with you. And that's what Jabez prayed. Lord, let your hand be with me. I remember several years ago, somebody was going to have to make an airport pickup at Bush Intercontinental, and they were a little wary of the trip and all the signs and which lane to be in and where to pick them up, which terminal. And I said, well, I'll go with you. And so we went. And when we were supposed to be in this lane, I said, okay, you need to get in this lane. And then you need to go around this corner and get over in that lane and watch for this sign. And then we need to get in that lane. And so they were following directions one by one. We pulled up, and the person we were picking up got in the car, and the driver said, I did it. And I thought, well, what did you need me for? When we do pray for something, and God hears our prayers, and He answers, and we say, I did it. If you don't believe God can, why should he? Again, back to James, this time James 1. verse 5, when James talks about asking for wisdom, he says to do this in a certain way. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If we go through life thinking we are just left to fate or to chance or to circumstance, we need not be surprised that God is not answering our prayers as we ask them. Because we are not asking in faith. We're just going through the motions. We're just doing something that we've been trained to do without any conviction about it. We're being tossed by whatever's happening. Unstable, double-minded, trying to serve God and serve the world. Maybe God is not answering because you are not asking in faith. Faith that Jesus said, I could say, Lord, move this mountain. And he'd cast it into the sea. Lord, stop this storm in my life. And he would say, peace, be still. Why doesn't God hear my prayer? Well, are you asking in faith or in doubt? If it's in doubt, James said, let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Then finally, and this one I must admit is the most difficult, which is why I saved it for last. Why isn't God answering my prayers? I'm asking, and I don't know of any conscious sin that is separating us or between me and other people. And I'm asking for the right reason. And I'm asking in faith. Why doesn't God answer me? Could it be that it's not the will of the Lord? The prayer of Jabez concludes this way, that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. That's a play on words in Hebrew that is lost in translation. Because the name Jabez means pain. It's a word that means grief or affliction. And we're told the reason he is given this name by his mother in verse 9 is because she said, I bore him with pain. No explanation as to what kind of pain. Was it the pains of childbirth? Was it a pain because she was a widow? Was it a pain of poverty that she wouldn't have what she needed to provide for this son and that brought her pain? We don't know. But how would you like to go through life with a name that every time somebody referenced you or called you by name, it was about suffering and grief and sorrow? Closest I could think of was Buddy Payne. And And so Jabez prayed, Lord, keep me from harm, that harm not pain me. Now, another thing lost in translation is the beginning of the prayer, where the English has, oh, that thou wouldst do this and this and this. Oh, that. You look that up in the Hebrew, and that's literally if. Lord, if. And God granted him what he requested. It was according to his will. Lord, if. And God said, no. Sometimes we pray that the pain would be removed. And God says, no. Sometimes we pray, Lord, deliver us. And God says, no. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, we are given a grand assurance about God and our trust in Him. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful, who will not allow you, Paul said, to be tempted more than you can bear. And so whatever struggles you brought with you this morning, you know what God says about that? You're strong enough to endure that. You trust Him. You trust that God knows what is best, and that His will be done for you is for your benefit. Why isn't God answering this? Well, He's working on something else. And one day, we'll be able to see that. 1 John chapter 5, one of the very passages used to say, well, we can just pray whatever we want and God will give it to us. 1 John 5, verse 4, verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have received from Him. Why isn't God doing something? It's not according to His will. So I'm going to choose to trust Him, that His plan is greater than mine. And God granted him what he requested. May I say that sometimes when you think the answer is no, it's really not yet. Moses, the man of God, begged the Lord to let him cross over and see what he called the fair land. For 40 years, he had been oppressed and wandered in the wilderness because of a faithless generation. And he just wanted to see what they'd been marching to. And God said, "Don't speak any more about it. You're not going in." Really, it was not yet. Because when Jesus was on the mountain of Transfiguration, and the disciples saw him talking to two men. One was Elijah. And one was Moses. Feet standing in Canaan's land. Not yet. Pray without ceasing. Can we pray for you today? Has your sin made a separation between you and God that you need to have washed away in the blood of the Lamb? Come confess your faith in Jesus and, repenting of your sins, be baptized this morning. Are you lost? Are you in need of comfort and encouragement? You know what we want to do? Just pray. Can we assist you? Come right now while we stand, while we sing.